Reports suggest that military force was exported from the northern part of the country, and apparently maybe the security forces in the city may not have obeyed the regime, I don't know, and perhaps they panicked. And a lot of this is to do with the panic, the fear of the government. The steps they took is completely uncalled for. They simply cheated the Ethiopian people of the joy and celebration they could have had through having gone through an election process, which in their history they've never had it so well.
Now, the government did say, getting back to the violence last week, the government did say that the protesters were looting and throwing stones. They had also broken a law that had come out banning protests for a month, or at least until the count is finished. Does that not give the government the right to use force to control looters or protesters?
I don't think the government should use that kind of excessive force to kill students, university students. It's extremely difficult to train a university student in Ethiopia. It costs a lot, and the family goes through a lot. Imagine for those families that have lost their loved ones. What is the replacement for them? The key issue is the government did not have to resort to this emergency law, and that is completely a wrong measure. It actually is to put cold water over a process which was buoyant, vibrant, joyful, celebratory. People were enjoying voting. There was absolutely no reason for them to do this.
Professor, do you give this government any credit, or do you hold out any hope that it would continue to liberalize? After all, there was a court ruling that acted independently last week that said the government should not have announced that it had won 3 or 4 weeks ago. So that was a government ruling. There's also the creation of, I think, a team to investigate the outcome of these elections, made up of the EU, the political parties, and the ruling party. And the electoral board has shown at least some degree of independence by rerunning elections in given areas. Does that not prove that there are elements of this government that seem to be independent and that perhaps would go in an independent and democratizing way, regardless of how the ruling party feels?
I wish what you're saying would be true, but you know, the Observer Chief Tim Clark said that he's seen observers being shoved and abused, and I think the condition is not well. About 3,500 members of the opposition all over have been arrested, beaten, and the prospect at the moment is frightening. What we're getting, the report I'm getting, is extremely alarming, and I just hold out a hope for this old, much abused country to come through this incredible situation. And I mean, of course, far-sighted leadership, visionary leadership, quality leadership is needed. But I don't think Meles, he does not have a historical sense, and he doesn't have this really strong vision to give us leadership in this time.
Speaking of historical sense, there are some analysts who say that this is perhaps expected in a country that for over 1,000 years has had a very centralized authoritarian tradition, that in this case both the government and the opposition overreacted, that the opposition may have been too bellicose, that the government and the police obviously overreacted to protesters. Do you see that there's blame on both sides, perhaps because of the newness of the situation? For example, you had said earlier to me that you thought the government should not have taken some of the rhetoric of the opposition, some of the talk of the opposition, as seriously as it did.
No, I think it's extremely difficult to say the opposition made mistakes, simply because, you see, because they were not expected to make that big showing, almost a landslide scale, considering where they come from. And considering the lead opposition started its movement not a long time ago, then what has happened is the government panicked. And I think that's the main reason, to my mind, for them to do this state of emergency. And I think, you know, the opposition then saw these irregularities, voting, and the electoral board not playing ball as they saw it. So when they saw all these things, they may have said a few things, and those should not have been taken too seriously as a means to actually attack them, detain them, arrest them. Now they have arrested the key leaders. I mean, that creates escalated tension, and therefore they are responsible. The major responsibility for the killing, the death, lies in Meles and his propaganda minister, Bereket Shimon. The two are the key ones. And Bereket is deselected, and now he's playing a big role. He should step down because he has no legitimacy because he was wiped out in the election. And
Bereket lost his seat in the elections.
Yes, and he's playing a major role in the country now. And he's arresting the people who are elected. Can you imagine? This is an irony. When they rejected, abused, they legitimated.
What role would you expect the international community to play in helping to straighten out this matter, the electoral matter? I know that there are elements within the Commission for Africa, for example, that had talked about perhaps excluding Meles Zenawi as commissioner on the commission, or even maybe I think that Ethiopia is available now for, I think, debt relief, according to an agreement reached yesterday between the Americans and the UK of the G8.
I think they should put maximum pressure on the government, especially on Meles, but they should not penalize Ethiopia and the people of Ethiopia. If this thing is meant, whatever they do, debt relief or any investment money for Ethiopia, that should be continued.
Is there anything about Ethiopia we should understand that makes it perhaps more of a challenge to adopt pluralism and democracy? In the past, there was an authoritarian government under both military and by an emperor, and there was also tension between some ethnicities who either resented the Amhara rule and now tend to resent Tigrayan rule. What does that say? I mean, is there something that we should understand about Ethiopia and some of the dynamics of its history and culture?
I think it's more than anything else, it's to do with the question of the modernity and the elite. The elite are the ones that are actually ethnicists. It's not the people. I mean, if you go to the Ethiopian people, they're the most gentle, the most noble people you could ever find. If you're a foreigner, you go to Ethiopia, they give you love. It's one of the few people, I've traveled all over the world, and I can tell you, it's not just because it's my country. It's one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And the people are fine. It's the politics that's rotten, and it's the elite that's rotten. And this elite must know how to find a formula, a procedure, a democratic system, and completely not use politics that terrorizes and produces. It's a challenge to them. Produces a politics that heals through debate, through the creation of the public sphere, through public participation. This is something that has to be created. All countries have passed through authoritarian systems in history. So I think the opportunity of the ballot box should be given and should be seen. Its results must be